This is the BBC Home Service, an automatic steam laundry. A combination which is working out very nicely, thank you.
Enough of the old chap there, Greenslade. Back to your mangle and get John Snag's shirt resold. And in the meantime...
Yes, dear people, in the meantime, we present the extraordinary Talking Type Wireless Goon Show.
So much for the mysterious horn-equipped hand-operated phonograph. And now, Greenslade, stop scraping that heavily soiled sheet and read the inscription thereon.
Very good, Sam. We present Baroness Orksey's masterpiece, Baron Orksey. Or, a strange case of diplomatic immunity, in which a strange case of diplomatic immunity is recounted. Chapter 1, a strange diplomatic case of immunity, or a diplomatic case of strange immunity... Or through hook, line, and blizzard with Ava Gardner.
Chapter 2.
Hooray!
Chapter 3. Me. One morning in the year, needle, not a new. I had decided to spend a holiday abroad. How I loved Rome with all her fountains. Ah, oh, Rome! There's no place like Rome. So I thought as I sat eating a small string pie in Trafalgar Square. I spent the next hour pleasantly washing my overcoat in the fountain.
The man from Laramie. He had an elbow on each arm and one upon his shoulder. I say, are you with the zinc cardigan? Are you English?
Only by descent.
By descent?
I came down by parachute.
Then you ought to be ashamed of yourself here
I
in the most...
I don't wish to know that, sir.
In the most beautiful fountain in Trafalgar Square, you have the audacity and the audacity to wash an overcoat, thus fouling the water. You might have waited until I finished my bath.
To tell you the truth, sir, I thought you were a statue.
I have enough decency, sir, not to move when I'm naked.
Haven't you got a bath where you're staying?
Of course I have.
Where are you staying?
Here.
What made you choose Trafalgar Square?
Do you like pigeon pie?
Disgusted by his old world courtesy, I strapped on my nickel-plated bagpipes and strode into Regent Street. A dreadful mistake! I had hardly lowered myself off the pavement when...
Dear listener, the sound that you've just heard was that of a 100-ton steamroller passing slowly over Neddy Seagoon and his nickel-plated bagpipes. Of course, to record this sound, the BBC naturally did not actually run over Neddy Seagoon with a steamroller. Instead, the steamroller was driven over Eccles. Thank you.
What's going on here? Constable! I demand that you arrest the driver of that 100-ton, anthracite-filled, reciprocating engine steamroller.
Well, let's hear the charge.
I'll play it for you.
Thank you.
Now, I want you to arrest the driver of that steamroller.
Oh, well, right. Where's the driver?
Sir Pristine Yuckles. Who wants to know? I am the man.
Now then, this gentleman here says that you're the driver of the steamroller, sir.
So do I.
Now they kill us. Constable, arrest the driver. I have witnesses.
Who are they?
You and me.
You can't arrest me.
And why not?
Why? See that plate on the steamroller? See the letters on it? CD.
Oh, blimey.
No, corps diplomatique. I have diplomatic immunity.
Get me out of here. Call a doctor.
Sir Pristy Yakabakafa, diplomatic immunity means I cannot be arrested, sued, disfranchised, blackballed, guillotined, run out, left in bulk, charged, hung, drawn, or quartered, or needle, I don't know. You see, I happen to be the deputy vice pomfret of the Titicaca legation.
Then why are you driving a steamroller?
My feet hurt me.
And so, here I was. Freshly run over with my bagpipes irreparably flattened and without a remedy. The weight of the steamroller has made a lasting impression on me. I was now 2 inches thick and 24 feet wide. This was very awkward. People kept opening and shutting me. What I needed most was a kind word.
Hello.
And that wasn't it. As I lay on the road, I looked down through a lidless top hat at an upturned face.
Oh. Here, sit down on the pavement and rest a while. Hey, what's that sailing out of a sixth-floor window up there? It's a piano.
A piano? Bird-brained idiot. What did a piano be doing falling from...
I'm under the piano! Give us a tune.
I can't find my music.
Okay, then, it's time for Max Gilroy.
That was Mr. Max Geldray playing a harmonica. We thought you ought to know what it was, anyhow.
Fine.
Thank you. And now, a word from Betty Siegel.
Get this piano off me! Send for the fire brigade!
Why, are you on fire?
No!
Okay, we've got to have a reason for sending for them. I'll start one.
And so, while Eccles set fire to nearby Craven Hotel... The East Acton Volunteer Auxiliary Civilian Fire Force came dashing up.
Come on, men. Load the water pistols and fill that wicker basket at the fountain. Oh, steady, Lightning.
Oh, there's a naughty, naughty man bathing in the fountain.
Madam, put away that spyglass and stop using my bathwater. Don't you worry, young man. We shall have that heavy piano off you before you can say Jack Robinson. But don't say it for the next 7 hours.
Yeah, that big hotel over there is on fire.
Where? Oh, yes, yes. Minnie, make a note that that hotel over there is on fire.
Okay, Fire Chief Grandbuddy. Yes.
Hey,
Where are all the other firemen?
They're all at the Fire Safety Week dinner.
Where's that?
In that hotel over there. Now then, men, get that leather crane into position over the piano.
Okay, buddy, okay.
Did you sign for the crane before we left, Min? Did you sign for it?
Yes, yes.
Good, good. Well, I'm glad you signed, because we've got to have the documents to prove it, you know. You must have the documents.
What documents, Henry?
For the crane, Min. The documents for the crane. You must have them, you know.
Never mind about the blasted documents.
Oh, I'm sorry. You must have the documents. You must have them. Where are they, Min?
Where are what?
You must have the documents. You can't.
What documents have you?
You can't get the wood, you know.
Meanwhile, in a tea house in Saigon. We just thought you'd be interested. We return you now to our story.
All right, Minnie. He's returned us to the story. Lower the crane. All right, hook it on. Take the left tension.
Left tension, buddy.
Now the right tension. Right, right.
Right tension, Henry.
Attach the grappling claws. Take up the slack. Are you ready?
Yes.
Lunch.
I never saw them again. I finally extricated myself from under the piano, fuming with rage at the perpetrators of this outrage. I knocked at the door of the window from which the piano had been thrown.
Oh, yes, we've been expecting you. Give me your hat and coat. Thank you. Now get out. Oh, yes, we've been expecting you. You left your hat and coat. Yeah. Now get out. I'm sorry, everyone's out.
Wait, I have a question. Are you a piano, Sean?
Only one.
And where is that?
I really couldn't say. I threw it out of the window one night, and the next morning it was gone.
You careless, lackadaisical piano waster.
Needle not a new.
To name but a few.
Of course.
Do you realize that he struck me on the bagpipes?
What?
I'm going to sue you for wanton piano hurling and £50,000.
You can't have both.
Very well, I shall take the money.
You will have neither.
Great heavens, it's Count Foreign Fred Moriarty.
Oh, the fiendish steamroller driver of Regent Street.
Yes, likewise, we claim diplomatic immunity from charges that you have been struck by a piano.
Why?
This is the Titicacan legation, and that piano carried a core diplomatic plate.
It does not. And what is more, I've had the bit stored in a secret bonded warehouse in Bond Street until I produce it as evidence in the forthcoming legal proceedings.
Such pristy piano. Unless we can get a core diplomatic plate secretly screwed on that piano, we are pst, tuck, boom.
Unless we can get a core diplomatic plate securely screwed to that piano, we are pst, tuck, boom.
It's a pristy piano. Unless they can get a core diplomatic plate secretly screwed to that piano, they are pst, tuck, boom.
Meanwhile, in a stench packing factory in Saigon. We return you now to where we left off. Psst. Tick. Thang.
Fine.
I realized I had them. Without that CD plate on the piano, that cook was goosed. So I went to see the most astute legal mind in Trafalgar Square.
A man from Yilongbong.
Bloodlock, I need your help.
I'm sorry, it's her day off.
I want you to sue the Titicaca legation for striking me with the piano.
How much for?
They did it for nothing.
No wonder we get so many overseas visitors.
I want you to sue them for £50,000.
I accept the case, but first the man from Illington. Demonstrate with that mad banjo and split mackerel head.
I was blue and I was always wearing a frown because my love had turned me down. When we met, and you can bet I knew from the first you were my love, and that's when the old grey cloud burst. My heart really flew the day you caught my eye. I hope that we two will never say goodbye. Clouds of grey have silver linings when they're reversed. I found my love, and that's when the old grey cloud burst. Turn me down. Then we met, and you can bet I knew from the first you were my love, and that's when the old clock burst. Take a look at me, boy. Take a look at me. Take another look. Take another long look at me. And I've opened my eyes, and I can see clouds of gray have silver linings when they're reversed. I found my love, and that's when the old gray cloud.
Missing CD plates, part the two.
Dear listener, my legal advisor, Major Bloodnock, demands a salary of £40,000 before he will proceed with my case against the Titicaca legation and thus see justice done.
Neddy, how would you like £40,000?
In money.
Yeah, you'll drive a hard bargain.
Name the task.
It's very simple, dear boy, very simple. All you have to do is to go to a certain bonded warehouse in Bond Street, effect an entry, and blindfolded, screw a small white metal plate to a certain object in the dark, which for the time being will remain incognito.
Wait. What's on this small plate?
Well, if I promise to tell you, will you promise not to tell anybody?
Yes.
Good. Then it'll be a secret between us.
Right.
You'll do it?
Yes. Stop! What is this object I'm to screw this plate to?
I can't tell unless I keep completely silent about it.
Right. Tell me in silence, then.
Very well.
I can't believe my ears.
Good. And here's a screwdriver, a blindfold, and a cucumber.
Cucumber?
You've got to eat, haven't you? Now then, off you go. Little does this poor idiot know that inside the cucumber is a powerful infernal machine, timed to explode the moment it detonates, and to blow him to perdition when he has completed his task. Exits humming.
By the magic of wireless, we now take you to a tar barrel in Yokohama. Thank you. The Diplomatic Case of Strange Immunity, Chapter 8. A Case of Strange Diplomatic Immunity, or With Igloo, Jackknife, and Saxophone Along the Appian Way. Chapter 10. It is midnight in a certain bonded warehouse in Bond Street.
Echoes?
Hey?
Echoes? It is nice sitting on this glowing brazier. Being a night watchman, isn't it, Echoes?
Yeah, fine.
Yes, it is fine being a night watchman.
Yeah.
Echoes, do you like being a night watchman?
Yeah, fine.
Yes, I like being a night watchman. It is like being a day watchman, only it's in the dark.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yes, it is fine to be night watchman, isn't it?
Yeah, fine. That man from Lermin.
You are a brave night watchman, aren't you, Echoes?
Yeah, sure, fine.
And I am a brave night watchman.
Yeah.
I like being a brave night watchman. We are both brave night watchmen.
Mark!
There's something crawling at my trousers.
Ah, never fear. It's only me, little wooden sock night watchman.
No, my kidding. Spring smartly to attention, putting left toe into rat trap. Hey! Rides in agony on floor. Thinks. What shall I think? Thinks. I can't think of a thing. Unthinks.
Listen, tiny nook.
Hey.
I have a job for you. Now, take this plate and screwdriver and screw it into the object which I am told is in the far left-hand corner of this warehouse.
What is the reward, Captain?
This lovely, green, succulent, prize-winning cucumber.
Oh, goody!
Now off you go and do your task. Come, Eccles! We must watch without to see that little Nerk shall not disturb it be. Eggs and Tucket and trees fighting.
There. I have screwed the plate onto the piano. Now for a nice, succulent meal of luscious cucumber. Thinks. I wonder what it would be like to be a man-made cellotite 120 miles above the earth. Oh, so this is what it's like.
The case of Seagoon versus the Titicaca Embassy. We are Wolves, Count Morisati, and Hercules. And Hercules, Great Viking, Consul of No Fixed Address, the sum of 50,000 nicker for wrongful accusation. Thank you.
50,000 nicker.
How will I get it? Wait! I know. I'll get even with them. I'll go to Titicaca.
And so, Seagoon took a ship for Titicaca. Meanwhile, in a notorious fish shop and ballet school in Yoshiwara... By Jove, I do believe they're closed.
And so I arrived in Titicaca with my bagpipes bent on revenge. All I had to do was to find a steamroller, throw myself under it, and sue for damages. I hadn't long to wait. See, here comes one now.
Dear listener, the sound of Seagoon and his bagpipes being run over is the second sound of the series These We Have Loved, as broadcast in the program David Whitfield sings again and again and again.
Oh, all right. Lift him out gently, lads. And now, unroll him.
He keeps curling up like a blind of my teeth.
Are you all right, Tom?
Arrest that man.
The waterman.
The driver of the steamroller. I demand £50,000 compensation.
Driver, did you hear that?
Yes, and I won't pay it.
You can't get out of it.
Yes, I can. See these CD plates on the steamroller? Diplomatic immunity, you see.
You're not...
Yes, I am. Major Bloodnock, British ambassador to the court of Titicaca.
You mean...
Yes, I have diplomatic immunity. Keep away from me. And what is more, I shall charge you.
Indeed? And may I hear this charge?
Suddenly.
Oh, no! Stop! Man! You can't do this to me!
That was the Goon Show. A BBC recorded program featuring Peter Sellers, Harry Secombe, and Spike Milligan with the Remington Quartet and Max Geldray. The orchestra was conducted by Wally Stott, script by Spike Milligan, announcer Wallace Greenslade. The program was produced by Peter Heaton.